Because God is known by the things he has done. And Christ is known also by the things he has done. He is not just Jesus Christ. Why do you think it says, and believe that God raised him from the dead? Because you can't, you have to get the facts straight about Jesus. And not only that, what about his teachings? What did he say? What did this man you worship God as? Worship God. We say we worship God. Does that mean we say, oh God, I worship you? When people worship celebrities, what do? Do they just stand in front of their photos saying, I worship you? They might try to see them in person and say that kind of thing. But generally, how do they behave? They want to know everything they can about that person. They want to know every fact about their idol, their musician or their singer, their entertainer that they idolize and that they worship. They want to know every little bit of news they can get about that person is interesting to them. What does he like to eat? What does he like to drink? You know, what's his favorite hair color? Maybe I'll get my hair dyed to match the hair color that my idol adores. What can I do to be pleasing to my idol that he might notice me? What does he want from me? What does he say? Or just, you know, what are his interests? What are the things he likes best? That's what people do when they worship a man. It should be no different with God. What does he want? What does he say? When you say we worship God, does that mean we go to church on Sunday and just sing songs? I'm sorry, I don't think that's very worshipful. I don't. I don't think going once a week to a mock-up service that's just contrived and just sitting there and being an audience member. If that's worship, then going to a movie is worship. And we're all worshiping every time we watch a movie. And they say, well, you know, there's a little more audience participation. You may be right. Maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but still, we're close to worship, aren't we? And some people might even feel that that's true. I don't, because I think worship entails a little more commitment, a little more heart involvement. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You want to be there on the last day, then worship God. You worship God by trying to find out what this name is that he only knows. Because he's the only one who really knows who he is. He's the only one who really knows himself.
He is the only one who can reveal himself to you.
Because his true name is who he really is. You could never pronounce in syllables what God is. You can never put it in mortal terms. Who this being, God, is that we have to deal with. You can't know him like you ought to know him.
Like you need to know him.
Everything that it says in the scriptures that we should know him and we have known him, it means in a sense. Yes. We seek to know him to the degree that he has revealed himself to us. To the degree that he has revealed himself to us, we can know him. But even the word that is written, not just on his thigh, I used to equate what was written there. I thought it was like, oh, it's the Bible, and no one really knows the Bible like they ought to. And there's some truth to that. But I really think it goes beyond what is written. Because if all that could be said about Christ were written in books, the world could not contain all those things. That's what the apostle said. Or I think that maybe it was Luke, or I forget. That's what one of the gospel writers said in any case. So, that's the name which no man knows. But we all ought to seek after it, because that's the true spirit of worship. You wanna worship God, then become obsessed. Oh, I don't want to become a fanatic. I consider worship a fanatical thing. To worship anything is somewhat fanatical. You can honor God, you can sing to God, praise God, but to actually worship is more than any of those things by themselves. To truly worship God is not an action, but it's almost a state of mind. It's like an obsession. And why not? What's at stake? Eternal life is at stake. So is it not worth a little of our attention between our meals and between our pursuing wealth and pursuing the things of the flesh? And I say that sarcastically because it should be over everything and not between. So the Feast of the Fowls. This is that which Luke spoke of, or Luke talked about the Lord speaking of, when he said, one shall be taken. You know, two men shall be plowing the field. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two will be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, the other will be left. This is Luke 17, the very end of the chapter. And they asked him, saying, where? Where will they be taken? He said, whithersoever the carcass is, the body, and the King James, but its carcass. There will the eagles be gathered together. Wherever the corpse is, you will find the birds of prey. So where are they taken? Well, look for the birds, is what he said. Look for the birds, because so many times they say, oh yes, they're going to be taken in the rapture. It's not going to be. But once those of you who trust Christ, once your minds have been cleared of that nonsense, you will see. You don't want to be taken to this place. They will be taken to the battle. Their candlestick is taken out of its place. They have been taken into the marriage bed of the beast and to the marriage supper of the great God. Or not the marriage supper, the supper of the great God. That is where they who are taken go. They do not remain at the plow. They do not remain at the mill doing God's work. Or it says in bed. I mean, maybe that analogy is not entirely, or even just whatever, but they will be taken. Some will be sleeping. Some, then they're not all going to be taken. Obviously, some people are going to be taken, others are not. And they'll be taken to this place. That is what Jesus was talking about. They are pressed into service. They are drafted into the army. They are conscripted to join the battle of Armageddon. They'll be taken by the deception when the frogs go forth to gather them together to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, Armageddon. That's what this is. And the birds will feast on their flesh. Actually, that's the last verse. Let's read the last three verses. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in white linen, fine and clean. I didn't really cover that verse when we went through it, but